Now, I'm very excited to welcome into studio a very strong member of our community, the Angel Network. If you've ever been on their Facebook group, they help lots of people in our community all the time. And they recently had an event like last night. So we have them in studio today, Louise Fisher, who's from the Angel Network, and the speaker from last night's event, Madeleine Black. Guys, welcome to Chai FM, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. Lovely to be here.
Now, Madeleine, you are a motivational speaker, someone who talks a lot about forgiveness and understanding, because you have quite a harrowing story, and something which I think, unfortunately, is very relevant to our South African context, because it's a story of rape and survival, which is a huge issue in South Africa.
Yeah. My story is the story of many women and men all over the world.
Mm-hmm. But you haven't chosen to hide it, right? I think often people have to live with this stuff for years, and from what I've seen of your work, that you did have to, but now you've really used it as an opportunity to educate and help people understand. How did that occur?
I hid it for a long time, but I shared my story publicly online with an organization called the Forgiveness Project, mm-hmm. and it just opened so many doors for me, you know, and then I wrote my book. I decided to write my story down really for me to start with, but all of a sudden there were 70,000 words and a book appeared. And I just really understand the power that comes when we share our stories, that so many men and women are just shut down with their shame because mm-hmm. they can't speak about it. But the shame never belonged to me. The shame always belongs to the perpetrators, and the silence really only protects them and hurts us.
Right. Now, Louise, you were the one who organized to bring Madeleine out here. How did that happen? What was the basis behind
it's
your decision?
It's actually an amazing story, because mm-hmm. on Facebook, of which I'm not that active, except for I have three amazing book clubs, and you sort of got to know some members better than the other, and one of the members was Madeleine. We seemed to share the same books and loved reading the same stuff. And Madeleine would write to me and say, read this and so. And one day I decided to look where she was from, and I saw she lived in Glasgow. And I also saw that she had in fact written a book called Unbroken. And I bought the book and read it and was totally mesmerized by her story. And after reading it, I wrote to her and had many conversations about her life. And she said, one day I'd love to meet you. And then in December, she wrote to me in Australia, because I live in Melbourne, and she said, I'm coming to South Africa. Are you by any chance going to be in South Africa? And with my volunteering work I do, I knew I was going to be here in April. So I extended my trip so we could meet. And then I said, you know, I had this idea, maybe she could speak for the Angel Network as well as her conference. So that's how we got it together.
So you managed to get some friendship and some work done at the same time.
We met yesterday for the first time.
How was that? Because, you know, whenever you're working with someone online, or indeed like the radio station, we speak to people every week who I've never met in my life. What is it like suddenly then meeting someone in the first time?
It's like we've been friends forever. It's amazing.
It was amazing, because you can connect, even though it's only via social media, and we can chat, and when you meet someone in real life, yeah, it's just like Lou said, I've always known her.
Amazing. That's an incredible thing that technology.
It's amazing technology.
Yeah.
Now, Madeleine, I don't want to talk about the incident itself, because I think, first of all, I think people can read the book, mm-hmm. and it's also, I don't want to concentrate on that. One of the things though that did strike me when I've read about what you did is the reaction of your parents, to the incident and how they reacted. Because I think for many people who are listening to this, they're thinking about the safety of their children and the safety of their families, and how do they deal with a potentially sort of violent incident like this. And reading your story, I think that there's a lot that we can learn as a community on how to react to this kind of thing better.
Well, they didn't know about it straight away, because I couldn't speak about it for about 3 years. And even then I couldn't speak about it. I just left a note. My dad was insistent to go to the police, and my mum was really quiet, but it took me many years to discover that my mum had also been raped as an 8-year-old child. So it was very hard for her to deal with, because my parents had been married for 40 years, they had 5 kids together, and my dad never knew.
Sure. So that must have then taken a huge toll on your family once, you know, you started engaging with this and talking about it and that sort of thing.
Well, I've only been really speaking about it the last 4 or 5 years, and actually it hasn't taken a toll at all, because my mum gave me permission to share her story in my book, and she said, oh, you're much braver than I am. And at a local Glasgow event, a Maccabi event, I said, you know, Mum, sometimes I share your story when I speak. Is that okay? And she said, what are you going to say? I said, it's okay. I won't mention you. It's fine. And afterwards, a friend spoke to her and said, you know, what did you think? She said, you know, it happened to me too. And I was like, oh my gosh. By me speaking out, my mum has also found her voice. So I know that is the power that comes when we share our stories.
So what age were you then when you started to talk about it? You say 3 years.
When I shared my own story, what happened to me?
I'm saying,
or when I shared it publicly.
No, I'm saying, like, personally, what happened to you with your parents, or?
It took me about 3 years when I was about 16.
So what was that process like, after that? Like, you know, dealing with the authorities and trying to.
I didn't deal with the authorities because I didn't report it.
Oh, so you didn't go to the police then with your dad?
I didn't go to the police, no. And it was also 3 years later, so there would have been no physical evidence on my body. And back in the UK, the conviction rate is really low of all the cases that actually make it to court. Not many end in a prosecution. I know that now, but at the time, I never charged them because I was too scared. They threatened that if I spoke to the police or anyone, that they would come and find me and kill me, and I believed them.
And sadly, not a reality, I think, which South Africans would be unfamiliar with either. Yeah. Also, the low rates of prosecutions, rates of convictions.
There's so many changes needed to the judicial system.
What kind of things, I mean, do you think that there could be, that could immediately help the situation?
Well, society, attitudes. We have to end rape culture, victim blaming. 100% of all rapes are caused by rapists. It's not what you are wearing, drinking, how you are behaving, where you are walking, daytime, nighttime. It's never, ever the victim's fault. It's always the perpetrator's fault. So, you know, there was recently a case back in the UK where a woman had recorded it on her phone being raped by a very violent partner. And the jury decided that she was up for rough sex, that she wasn't being raped. So even with physical evidence of hearing it, they then acquitted this man. So what does it take to sway people's opinions and attitudes? It's a huge cultural shift that's needed around the planet.
And I suppose the only way to change a cultural shift is to do the work that you're doing, which is talking about it and engaging
speaking
people.
Out. Yeah, and I don't expect everyone to speak out publicly like I'm doing, but I've done so many therapies, so many different things, but the single thing that has helped me the most has been to find my voice. Because when we don't speak out, we're holding part of us back, you know, and we're not really being completely open or living our life fully.
Mm. Now, Louise, you part of the speaking out is you did have something with the Angel Network. How was the event? Was it well received? How did it go?
It's just one of the most amazing evenings I've ever experienced. Madeline was beyond exceptionally amazing. And I felt very honored to tell my story as well. And it was just the most wonderful, successful evening.
Oh, I'm very happy to hear that. Marlene, how long have you been in the country for?
Not very long. It's been a bit of a whirlwind tour. I arrived Thursday for the PSA convention up in Lesedi. It's the Professional Speaking Association, which I was invited to be one of the keynote speakers, which was very nerve-wracking to speak in front of my fellow speakers. And so we knew that we wanted to meet and arrange this, so I added on an extra day or two. So I fly home tonight.
So have you had time to do anything fun while you've been here?
Oh, it's all been fun. Loads of fun. Met amazing people. South Africans are just so warm and generous and just brilliant, brilliant people.
And, and as I say, a story which I think is very important, for people to hear in a South African context. If people want to find out more about what you've done, your book, where can they do that?
I'm on all social media, or they can go to my website, madeleineblack.co.uk, or just Google me. They'll find me somewhere.
No, they'll find you there. And the Angel Network, Louise, it's a lot of you got to go to the Facebook group. That's like really, if you.
They really are my heroes. They're a band of exceptional women that changing the life of so many destitute people. It's just amazing, and I believe strongly in raising funds for them in Melbourne, and I do my best to help something that I think is extremely important in this country.
Yeah, and what I love about them the most is it's very much like a ground up sort of thing. You know, it started out with a few people who saw a need and helped one person, and then it basically grew, and now people are on there all the time, engaging, finding out, helping, and it's a real example of just getting the job done, which I think is great.
Exactly.
So that's excellent. Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for coming to studio. Please do enjoy the rest of your time, as short as it might be, in Johannesburg.
Thank you.
Please come back and visit again.
I absolutely will. Thank you so much.
We have animals and all sorts of things that you can look at. You know, we're very happy to have tourists from wherever they are, especially ones bringing good messages like you. Louise, please keep up the good work with the Angel Network.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be back just after this.
Thank you.
Thank you.